upper right-hand corner. You can download podcasts. I think I got a week and a half left, and I'll be caught up. Oh, wow. What a weekend. What a busy I mean, there's just so many things to talk about. It's incredible. This segment is going to be brought to you again by Laser Home Services. If you need any help with your heating, cooling, plumbing, or electrical, this is the place to call. Give them a jingle, 515-654-5249, or you can look them up under laserhomeservices.com. It's a great company with great customer service. You'll start that off with a phone call. Tell them what your issues are. They're going to get in touch with the person that can help you the most, get back with you, and give you an idea of what time they'll be there to look at the situation. They'll also tell you when they're getting close. They'll tell you when they're at your front door. Then you get to talk to your service guy. My service guy has been Jerry Maguire on all three of my calls. Great guy. The thing I like about it the most, they go down, they take a look at the situation, they work their way through it, and then they write up an estimate. This is what it's going to be if we do this, 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 or this. And then you get to make that decision. I like that upfrontness of that and knowing what the cost is going to be, not going to be surprised, knowing that they're going to take care of it. I've had cooling and heating taken care of. And I couldn't be any happier. I mean, these things write themselves. I mean, it's so easy. They're good. They're honest. It's a great place to work. It's a great company. What else can you ask for when you're doing stuff that's so important for you? If you own a home, those are the four most important things that are there besides you and your family. Give Laser Home Services a call, 515-654-5249. All right, let's take a little bit of break from the NFL. I'll come back to a little bit of it. But let's take a look. You have some big games coming up. Starting with tonight, the Iowa Hawkeye men play Penn State at Penn State. And I think that's their games this week. They have Penn State. So they go at Penn State, at Ohio State, get Minnesota at home, and then go to Maryland. Those are three pretty tough games. Minnesota will fight you till the end. Penn State will do the same. Maryland will do the same, but those are winnable games. You got to start with a winnable game with Penn State. You beat them by 17 the other day, but that was at home. Now you're at Penn State. It's a big game for them. All of these become big games. They're 4-5 in the Big Ten, 14-6 overall. They do have two quad one wins now. That makes a difference. You know, and what they're looking for tonight, and it seems, you know, just someone from afar looking at the team. People ask, well, what would you do? I have no idea what I'd do differently. I do understand that I think Keegan Murray and Chris Murray can be on the floor with each other. And I'd like to see him on the floor with Flip Rebecca too. I enjoy when Joe Toussaint and Tony Perkins are on the floor together. I like when Joe Toussaint and Ulis are on the floor together. I just think they have some options. I have been surprised that Peyton Samford in the Big Ten hasn't gotten more playing time being as good a shooter as he is. But I think that with any freshman, you have to figure out a way to play defense. And that's the toughest part of it. But these are winnable games. So that makes them big games. And then you're going to end with kind of a gauntlet. You have Michigan, Illinois, Northwestern. You get Nebraska twice. That helps a little bit. You have Michigan and Michigan State. So not easy. And you go, you have to go east for Penn State. You have to go east for Ohio State. You come home for Minnesota. You go back east for Maryland. You get Nebraska at home. You get Michigan at home. You get Michigan State at home. You go to Nebraska. You get Northwestern at home. You have to go back to Michigan. You have to go back to Illinois. I think Iowa is in kind of in the same boat. Is you are looking at, you know, hit 500. They hit 500. They're in the NCAA tournament. You're going to get, if you can pick off some wins, you're going to have a couple more quadrant wins. The problem with some of this is you have I wrote this down. I apologize. I'm sorry, but I wrote it down because here's the problem that I have. So these quad one, quad two, quad three, quad four wins. I understand why they did it. It's the NCAA that's doing it, and it's they're trying to use it for literally developed to help them distinguish between teams that they're trying to get into the NCAA tournament because they have to compare them somehow, and it wasn't an open book. The problem that they had is if you take those quad one, two, three, and fours, and you do it at the end of the season, that's great because that's what everybody – and when you have social media, I mean everybody, hangs their hats on. Iowa now has two quad one wins. And that's great. If you just got those quad one wins, if those teams lose a couple more, you're not going to have quad one wins anymore. Iowa State's in the same boat. Some of the teams that Iowa State played are not having as good a second half as they did the first half. Maybe their six or seven quad one wins aren't going to be that high. That should have been the first thing that was in everybody's mind is, okay, this is something that the NCAA is bringing up. When have they ever brought up anything that works or is good? So bashing each other on social media over how many quad one, two, three, and four wins you have, when you look at it as a big picture, means nothing until you get done at the end of the season and you go into your tournament play. I think tournament play is going to be bigger than ever this year because there are so many teams that are so close together. If you look at and I have them right here. If you look at the top 25 in college basketball, there's not a lot. I mean, UCLA, Purdue, Kentucky, and Houston, and this still could be, I didn't see what date this was. So a new one could be coming out, but I was just looking at this because I think I had another one in here that had the top four as being Gonzaga, Auburn, UCLA, and Baylor, even though Baylor had not a bad loss because it was in Alabama, but still. You have Auburn, Gonzaga, UCLA, Wisconsin, Purdue, Duke, Kentucky, Arizona, Houston, and Baylor. So, I mean, you have some teams. I mean, this is going to be a very interesting year. As it stands right now, I think there is a really good chance that both Iowa and Iowa State are going to get into the NCAA tournaments. And we'll see what happens after that. But the social media stuff on quad one, quad two, quad three, quad four wins, it's this stuff, you know, to... Maybe it's stuff that make people think that the NCAA knows what they're doing. And if anybody believes that, man, I've got stuff I can sell you. Iowa has enough talent to do. They just have to, when they put all their game together, when people are hitting shots, they're rebounding and playing defense, I wouldn't want to face them. Now let's turn to the Iowa State Cyclones. A big win this weekend, 67-50 over Mizzou, followed the 84-81 Oklahoma State game. after the couple of games that they had with TCU and Texas Tech, that was a big win for them in that Oklahoma State game. To come back when they weren't playing, well, that was when I was banned from watching. But then I watched the Missouri game, and I think I'm unbanned. And they have some big wins on their schedule. Their schedule, I mean, they have Kansas tomorrow night at home. They gave Kansas a good run. Kansas just played, which one did they play? Let me click here and see. Who did they just get done playing? How does that not have Kansas State on? There we go. Kansas just got done playing Kentucky. Got beat 80-62. Kentucky just out athletic them, and that's not very easy to do. The Iowa State game was 62-61 there. It'll be interesting to see how Iowa State plays against them. Iowa State, though, taking care of Missouri and playing the way that they did. And I agree on social media, if you watch social media a little bit, one of the things that said, if Iowa State gets as aggressive on the offensive end and aggressive getting to the lane and then opening up other areas as they do on how aggressive they play defense, which they did against Missouri, then Iowa State's going to have a good outcome by the end of the year. It's a tough conference. It is so college basketball right now. It's not the college basketball that I grew up watching. It is so defensive and so athletic right now. Some of the true fundamentals, it's hard to tell because, you know, even when you double and you kick for a three-pointer, there's help there. And everything's a contested shot. It's going to be, I think the Big 12 tournament is going to be amazing in Kansas City. I think the Big 10 tournament, and I think it's in Indianapolis, is going to be amazing. And I think the NCAA tournament, if you ever had a time where you could see 1-16 get upset and 2-15s and 3-14s and 4 and on down, I think this is the year because there's enough good players on each team and enough good shooters that if you have a bad game, I don't know if you can win. And I think that's pretty interesting. It has been more fun watching basketball this year. Maybe it's because there's fans back. And so that makes these games even more just fun to be there. You and I and Drake are both playing well. Drake upset Loyola. They're tied for the lead. You and I is winning. There's just a lot of good basketball going on. Tonight is the Iowa Hawkeye women. They play tonight. Where did that one go? That is the men. I thought I had that one up too. And I think that the Iowa State women play. When does Iowa play? Here's the first. Iowa plays tonight. When does Iowa State play? Iowa State plays in Ames against number 25 Kansas State, and they play on Wednesday. So I get to go home tonight, get to watch Caitlin Clark play, then I get to watch my Cyclone women play, Cyclone men tomorrow, Iowa Hawkeye men tonight. It's time to catch up, folks. Football takes a week, almost 2 weeks off. It's time to get into this NCAA basketball. Speaking of NCAA basketball, this is the one that left me scratching my head this weekend. And I get it. Right now, Auburn's either one or two, depending on what you're looking at. They gave... they gave Bruce Pearl a... $50.2 million contract that locks him up pretty much for life. I like Bruce Pearl. I think Bruce Pearl is an amazing football coach, amazing basketball coach. That's a lot of money for a person who's gotten a lot of programs in trouble. Now, I don't know if it's been him, his people, he hasn't been on the right side of the NCAA all the time. And it shows you how quickly the NCAA will shy away from saying anything when someone makes a hire like that. They let Rick Pitino back in. They've let just about everybody back in. And sometimes when you look at name, image, and likeness, and a lot of things they say is, well, they're doing the best for these kids. Somebody in NCAA thinking that's the best for these kids sometimes? If you're at a program and the program gets the death penalty and that coach gets to keep coaching and you have to go through that? Man, I don't know. We'll see. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 1700 The Champ, real sports talk for real sports fans. I'll be back right after this break.
Steen on Sports, 1700 The Champ, real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in, everybody. Happy Monday. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 1700 The Champ, real sports talk for real sports fans. We'll be getting back to 101.3 here in a little bit. Had some satellite issues. Wouldn't want to have been the repairman. Saw some pictures, wouldn't want to have been up that high trying to repair something like that. No way, no way, no way, no way. Check us out on Twitter, at Steen on Sports, at 1700 The Champ, Facebook, at 1700 The Champ. Website 1700thechamp.com. This segment will be brought to you by Northwest Bank. Two locations in Ankeny, one in West Des Moines. So they got you taken care of locally around here. Many locations across the state. Pretty much anywhere you want to go, they're there. Three locations in Omaha. It's a great bank, great people, great product. Go in, tell them Steen sent you, open up an account, and see what they can do for you. What they're going to do is they're going to take care of your banking needs. That's the easy part. The hard part for you is going to be all the rest of the things that they show you that you need to do that you haven't been doing, and you're going to be extremely angry that you hadn't been doing them. That's the key. They're going to tell you things you need, tell you the things you don't, tell you the things you need for anything that you want. Your homeowners, you want to, your 401ks, anything. It's up. It's you know, you don't have to go in. You can do all this stuff. You can do online banking. You can do all of that. That's the thing that you want. You want somebody who moves with the times, has everything going. It's just, I can't be any happier to have them as someone I get to talk about with my radio show. That's how much I love talking about Northwest Bank. Commitment you can bank on. There you go. Member FDIC. Okay, so a couple of things. I just saw a couple of these, and I wanted to talk about them a little bit. I like this one. No flashy press conference at all by Matt Eberflus. Eberflus. Which I think is a good thing for the Bears. No promises, no getting ahead of himself. Very businesslike, practical layout of his philosophy. Sounds like someone who could have a good start running a business. And if you think that being an NFL coach isn't about being a business, it is. And here was one of the big topics over the past week. Are NFL coaches too involved in in-game decisions? Now, the way it used to be, and I know it's more sophisticated now in the way that, all this information comes scrambling in, and the way that you use analytics and all that, you have to be a part of it. But I think sometimes if you watched the game, two young outstanding coaches, Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay, it seemed like they spent a lot of time trying to figure out getting plays in, looking, talking with their piece of paper over their mouth so nobody can read lips. If somebody can tell me who can read lips at an NFL football game to tell another team what plays are being run, I want somebody to show me how they're doing it. And maybe they're just videotaping it and then looking at them in slow motion. That could be too, and that's too bad. But are they the CEO or are they a coach? Is the general manager the CEO and the football is just the football coach? Or do those two intertwine with each other? It's interesting when you have all these openings and you had eight of them. Raiders, Broncos, Dolphins, Bears, Vikings, Giants, Jaguars, Saints. That's eight. Are they being hired to be coaches? Are they being hired to be an offensive or defensive coordinator that coaches, that head coaches? Are they being head coaches that have some say in general manager's duties? Where's the cut line? And where's the how much attention are they doing to what they need to do or attention to things they probably shouldn't be doing? It's a fascinating thing. Fascinating. So we said before, the Raiders took Josh McDaniel. The Broncos took Nathaniel Hackett. Eberflus at the Bears. Eberflus. The Giants is Brian DeBall. So you've had three offensive coordinators and a defensive coordinator. It's going to be interesting. That leaves Jacksonville, New Orleans, Minnesota, Miami. Those are some big jobs. And it'll be interesting to see what they do and what they're looking for in their coach. Because I think that's going to make a huge difference. Here's part of this. John Mara said they interviewed, he's the president of operations. They interviewed nine GM candidates and six candidates for head coach. All of them had positive reviews of Daniel Jones. Not that they think he's Patrick Mahomes, but would be open to working with him. And one of the New York Giant writers said league perception of Jones is definitely different than public perception of Jones. Well, I think the league and talking to that is that what kind of position was Daniel Jones put in? That was not a good coaching hire. Joe Judge was a special teams coach for the New England Patriots. He wasn't an offensive coordinator. He wasn't a defensive coordinator. I don't know where he came from the game at. I don't know if he knew enough people to get good people to be there. I mean, his first offensive coordinator, come on. It was a Dallas Cowboy guy. Jason Garrett. You know, you have some people that are left out there. And it's going to be very, very interesting what will happen. You have Jim Harbaugh. he's been talked about with the Vikings and the Dolphins. Now, the Dolphins guy said he wasn't going to take him away from Michigan, but if Jim Harbaugh doesn't want to be at Michigan, he definitely doesn't want to see Jim Harbaugh go to the Vikings. And I don't even know if that's the best fit. The Houston Texans are looking at Jonathan Gannon, Brian Flores, Josh McCown. I don't know why Brian Flores would want to. I would take a year off before I would take that Houston Texans job. I actually think Josh McCown would be a good hire. The people there know him. The players on the team know him. Let him learn on the job. How bad can it be? He understands the quarterback position. You have Davis Mills. Maybe he helps him. You have Mike McDaniel. This is a really funny one. So this is kind of the Miami one right now. You have Mike McDaniel from San Francisco. Offensive coordinator, analytical guy, to the T. He is Sean McVay. He is Kyle Shanahan. He is, as soon as his name pops back into my head, the Green Bay coach. He's those coaches. He's analytical. He knows what he wants to do based on all these different mathematical things. People get scared of that. Is he good in front of the camera? I don't know. Who cares? Let him hire assistants that are good in front of the camera. Make your GM be good in front of the camera. You want somebody that can help Tua be the best that Tua can be. He made Jimmy Garoppolo look good, and I don't know how good Jimmy Garoppolo is. The other problem that you have is the other person that they're looking at maybe for Miami is Jim Harbaugh, old school guy. Now, maybe he brings in some newer blood and maybe they do some different things, but he's an old school field guy. But that also, he is the coach. When you walk onto the field, you know who your coach is. Sometimes I think you can look at the NFL and sometimes I don't know if they know who their coach is. They know their coach is calling offensive plays. They can see him with the thing up there. But how much is he coaching? How much is he paying attention to all this? They also have headphones on. They should be having people that are up above watching these games going, tick, 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 16 seconds, 15 seconds. We got to go. You know, I don't understand all the different things that are going on with all of this happening right now. I told you that earlier today I had a talk on Twitter about do I want a defensive guy or do I want a big time quarterback? And it's crazy when you look at this. Right now, Pittsburgh, Denver, Green Bay, Tampa Bay, New Orleans, and San Francisco are iffy about what their quarterback situations are. And in this league right now, you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. You have 10 quarterbacks that at any given point on any given team could lead their team to a Super Bowl. That happens to be Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, Derek Carr, Justin Herbert, Dak Prescott, Matt Stafford, Kyler Murray, Russell Wilson. And then you have this second line over here. And I'll put some of the better ones there first. Matt Ryan, Jared Goff, Trevor Lawrence, Carson Wentz, Ryan Tannehill, Baker Mayfield, Kirk Cousins, Sam Darnold. Those are ones that actually quarterback some. You have Zach Wilson, who was a rookie. You have Mac Jones, who was a rookie. Mac Jones is going to drop back a couple of steps without having Josh McDaniel there. And Derek Carr, I think, is going to move up a couple of steps for having Josh McDaniel there. You have Davis Mills in Houston. If Josh McCown goes there, I feel good about what Davis Mills will be able to do. Then you have Taylor Heinicke, Daniel Jones, and Justin Fields. I don't know if Tua is a good quarterback, but if you give him something to work with, I said all along, the offensive coordinator, I said this to Scott, that is Scott Brower's favorite team. We had this discussion. Brian Flores didn't like the offense. The offense didn't like Brian Flores. It was never going to work. If you bring in somebody, if it's defense, I get that. Matt Eberflus, He's coming in, but he knows what he wants to do. He knows Justin Fields is talented. He knows that Justin Fields can help, and the offense and defense can be simpatical. He knows that. I'm telling you right now, if Jim Harbaugh goes to the Minnesota Vikings, Kirk Cousins is going to be better for it. Because I don't know how much Kirk Cousins could take anymore of Mike Zimmer snarling at him all the time. Even though Mike Zimmer's defenses were getting blown away all the time that they were playing. The toughest one in this whole bunch. Baker Mayfield, what do you do? Odell Beckham Jr., bad guy. Need to get rid of him. LA Rams don't win 4 or 5 games they won and heading to the Super Bowl without Odell Beckham. Cooper Kupp's amazing, but even at times when you can't get the ball to Cooper Kupp, Odell Beckham, huge catch, huge catch, huge catch, huge catch. I don't know what you do with Baker Mayfield. Patrick Mahomes with Kansas City getting ready to cost them a bunch of money. Russell Wilson costs a lot of money. Kyler Murray's getting ready to cost a lot of money. He's already there. Matthew Stafford costs a lot of money. Justin Herbert right now is on the cheap for one more year, I think. Joe Burrow, one more year. Josh Allen, he's going to make a ton of money. Lamar Jackson, he's ready to get paid. As a Baltimore Ravens fan, we got rid of our defensive coordinator. I don't think we made very many stops when we did get ahead. They need to have an offensive coordinator that understands what it's like to work with Lamar Jackson. It isn't the same as if you were working with Jimmy Garoppolo or if you were working with Ryan Tannehill or you were working with Kirk Cousins. It's different, but you have to see and learn how to use him. For the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes costs a lot of money. He's up to $30 million next year after having a good contract for this year and last year. A lot of these teams are going to be at that point. So you have Denver. Denver hired Nathaniel Hackett. I like the hire. I think he's a good offensive coordinator. He's better than what they had. Now you have to figure out who your quarterback's going to be. The one I feel sorry for the most is Trevor Lawrence because the Jacksonville Jaguars are a mess, and I don't know what you do. You're listening to Scene on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. One more segment. Be right back.
On Twitter at Steam on Sports 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back, everybody. Happy Monday. Last segment today. You're listening to Steam on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans. Check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ, at Steam on Sports, Facebook at 1700 The Champ, and website 1700thechamp.com. Tomorrow night, 8 o'clock tip-off, no pregame. Texas Tech. That'll be a fun game to watch. You get the Hawkeye Huddle tomorrow night as well. Wednesday, you get UNI versus Bradley, 6:30 pregame. Saturday, UConn-Villanova. Saturday later, UNI-Drake. Sunday, Pro Bowl. And then we jump into Super Bowl week. Want to It's an opportunity to thank all three of my sponsors, Laser Home Services, Northwest Bank, and BetMGM. I kind of give live radio love to Laser Home Services and Northwest Bank because BetMGM plays like 6 times during my show. So, but I love BetMGM. It's my betting app. It's exciting. I enjoy it. I enjoy working with BetMGM. and really enjoy working with Northwest Bank and Laser Home Services. More to come. Have a meeting on Wednesday, have a meeting on Friday. So people are interested. So that's great. And I'm glad everybody's listening, and I'm glad that we have people that want to be a part of the program. Okay, so what to do? Personal note. Two personal notes. Number one, just wanted to say hello to Nana. Love you, Nana. She had a doctor's appointment today. Making sure everything's okay, but I haven't heard yet. I had a doctor's appointment a week ago, and I got results back from it was more of a checkup, more like a mini checkover. It was just about a year ago that I found out that I had prostate cancer. March, it'll be a year from when I had my prostate surgically removed. And at my appointment, I got the paperwork back. Well, I think we got the paperwork this weekend. I didn't look at it till today, but my PSA count was zero, which is great, because if it had been anything else, that would have been an issue, because I don't have a prostate anymore. So I was very excited about that. As usual, though, every good news comes with bad news. Yes, I'm fat, and my cholesterol was, and I'm, to say it off the charts would be a little hyperbole, but it wasn't good. You know, there's like, you know, where they want you to be. And if you're over, there's like a lot over, or medium over, or over. I'm probably in the medium over category. So, that being said, that's easy to take care of as well. And I want to live long enough to, I just want to live long enough to see as much as I can see. So, I'll have to work on that. But as far as prostate cancer, it's the first time I've been able to be tested, and having your PSA count come back as zero was a huge sigh of relief. So extremely happy about that. That was just my personal thing there. Was looking at the top 25. This just popped up on my phone. And in the AP top 25, there are five Big East teams, five Big 12 teams, five Big 10 teams, four SEC teams, three Pac-12 teams, Gonzaga from the Western Coast Conference, Duke, the only person in the ACC, and University of Houston for this year is in the American Conference. Next year, that is a Big 12 team right there. So congratulations to the Big East, Big 12, Big 10, and the SEC and the Pac-12 for having multiple people in the top 25. And I'm telling you, if you're in any of those conferences, the next five in your conference are just as hard. Those away games are extremely tough. Home games are extremely tough. And you're getting into that part of the schedule, the long days of the short month of February. So, with that being said, let's go through some quick things here. Just some odds and ends I saw over the weekend. Evan McPherson, Cincinnati Bengals kicker, young. He's very young. He had four game winners this year, 11 field goals over 50-plus yards. 58 is his longest. That is crazy. The very interesting thing for me is the San Francisco 49ers have Deebo Samuel. 1,559 receiving yards, 502 rushing yards, and 16 touchdowns. An offensive-minded head coach. And Jimmy Garoppolo is an above-average quarterback. And they had a hard time getting the ball yesterday. Now, once again, he took that hit. That kept him out for a while. For all the Odell Beckham Jr. haters out there that he only cares about himself, blah, 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 blah. If you saw after the game, him over consoling Deebo Samuel from one great wide receiver on his, you know, downward trend to a wide receiver with unlimited potential. That was nice to see. Speaking of wide receivers, so Cooper Kupp has now played in 20 games this season. He has 170 catches, 2,333 yards, and 20 touchdowns. And two of the most important ones yesterday. And getting open and being in the right spot and not dropping a ball. And, I mean, just all these things is, it's just amazing. One more thing to the NFL penalty-wise. During the season, most crews averaged between 12 and 18 penalties. The first playoff round, the average was actually 10, and that was when there were their most games. It dropped over the weekend to 6 to 7 penalties. That's a big difference. And that's why, you know, you would think, I mean, it is the number one watched. I mean, overtimes in these games draw more fans than what normal other leagues get on any time, any place, anywhere. Iowa State and you and I both beat Oklahoma and Oklahoma State, or one beat Oklahoma, one beat Oklahoma State this weekend. That's huge wins for those two programs. And getting back to Deebo Samuel, it's a very interesting thing. And teams kind of use Cooper Kupp. The Rams use Cooper Kupp that way. Devontae Adams for the Packers. Tyreek Hill. Every team needs to have that person, like a Deebo Samuel. And you need to find ways to use him that make it not easy for defenses to do what they like to do. I mean, they put Deebo Samuel in all kinds of different sets. Tyreek Hill and Devontae Adams are always in motion. You have 32 teams in this league, and you have like 14 teams that get it. That's not half, folks. And that's a problem. And that's why those 14 teams don't make it to the playoffs. Payne Stewart, this one really hurts. I was a huge Payne Stewart fan. Payne Stewart would have been 65 years old today. Died in a plane crash. Had a malfunction of cockpit or in the plane air, and passed away, and the plane crashed. Howard Hessman, WKRP in Cincinnati. Oh my gosh, my wife told me that, I told him he was the teacher in a school show, and she told me what it was. Now I forgot what it was. Gosh, it stinks to get old. And this is one somebody sent me today. I thought this was funny. Even at 56 years old, I thought this was funny. Funny how we complain about having to drink 8 cups of water a day for health reasons, but it's not as impossible to see yourself having 8 beers and shots go down in like 4 hours. But heaven forbid that we have 8 glasses of water a day. I thought that was funny. Nolan Ryan is 75 today. Nolan Ryan's best known to me for being a pitcher that had 8 no-hitters and threw so hard. He's known to everybody else, especially kids my kid's age, as being the person who Robin Ventura thought he would go out and rush the mound, and Nolan Ryan sat there and gave him noogies on top of his head. Last one here really quick. Giannis, when he came into the league, was 6'9", 210 pounds. 7 years later, he's grown into that body. He's 6'11", and 242. That's a big basketball player that can do fun things. You've been listening to 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. It's Steen on Sports. I'll be back in here tomorrow with Scott. Happy hour with Steen and Scott. See you then.
Here's a look at traffic on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ.
Taking a look at your traffic. No major accidents or issues this season.